Use math to make the world a better place. Become an actuary through the Society of Actuaries and find solutions to the world's most pressing challenges. As an actuary, the only thing higher than the pay is the satisfaction.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates. But now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert, so you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Morning Invest on this Friday. It is April Fool's Day. And let me just say right out of the gate, it is, to me, the lowest form of comedy. Like, April Fool's Day jokes is like the lowest common denominator for comedy. So we will not be doing any stupid April Fool's Day jokes.
No.
In fact, we will be covering real stories. We'll be having a great conversation about it. We'll be having some fun. But no April Fool's Day jokes today on the show. But we will be talking about Putin's price hike. So President Biden is doubling down on this narrative that, hey, the reason you're paying more for everything in the United States right now is because of Vladimir Putin. And we're going to release 180 million barrels of oil to try to dampen down Putin's price hike to help you out, Americans.
Plus, Disney may pay the price for speaking out against the Don't Say Gay bill, which is not really the name of it, but we will break down what might happen to them when GOP lawmakers decide to turn on Disney for going woke.
And Justin Trudeau is back in the news because he has put together a team to fight internet disinformation. But turns out the person he just hired to lead this effort has also been a person who's been sharing misinformation as it related to the Freedom Convoy during the Ottawa lockdown. So hypocrisy back in Canada. Trudeau's not in Brussels anymore. He's back in Canada. Morning Invest starts right now.
All right. Thank you for joining us. You are welcome to our show. Today is the last day we will be doing a live show in the morning. We are moving this same show to the afternoon. So we will meet you here on Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. There will still be a chat most days at this time in the morning. And if you watch it on the replay, you don't really care. It still will be here for you. We will still be here as ready as we can be and as enthusiastic, if not more. Remember, you can be subscribed to our newsletter at morninginvest.com and you will get news delivered for free to your inbox every day. And then you will know exactly what we're up to.
That's right. Morninginvest.com is the place to go. Grover will be here. David will be here. Philip will be here. So we will all be here. And again, we will have the live replay that you can watch during this time so we can all chat and still be together as one big happy family. Sam in our chat says, I hate April Fool's Day because today's my birthday.
Oh, well, so, happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
if
Sam.
That's true.
And by the way, this is not an April Fool's Day joke. We are, in fact, moving the show and the show time. So
and the name.
Yes.
And we're changing the name.
And the name, yes. We're really excited about it. We're going to be able to zero in and focus on the stories that, because people often say, like, well, where's the investment news? And this show, you know, this channel started out years ago as really an investment-focused channel, but I have my Clayton Morris channel, which focuses on that. So this has really become a broader news channel, which has been my wheelhouse for 20 years covering news as a journalist, you know, 10 years at the network. Natalie, also a journalist for many, many years. So broader news is kind of our bailiwick. And so this is going to be the main focus of this channel.
Sure. Yeah. I like to think of us as synthesizers. Like, we like to digest the news and help you sort of make a synthesis paper that you can turn in and get an A on.
All right, let's talk about the big news of the day. And yesterday, President Biden doubling down on this bullshit narrative, I'm going to say that, that somehow that Vladimir Putin is responsible for your inflated gas prices in the United States. And when you go to buy carrots, that somehow it's Vladimir Putin's problem. Again, I don't understand how they're doing this. The president came out yesterday to insist on releasing 180 million barrels of oil from the strategic oil reserves. He's going to release 1 million barrels a day for the next like 6 months. But we have a lot of questions about this. But here's the president yesterday on this narrative.
But as I've said from the start, Putin's war is imposing a cost on America and our allies and democracies around the world. Today, I want to talk about one aspect of Putin's war that affects and has real effects on American people. Putin's price hike that Americans and our allies are feeling at the pump. I know how much it hurts. As you've heard me say before, I grew up in a family like many of you, where the price of a gallon of gasoline went up, it was discussion at the kitchen table. Our family budgets, your family budgets, to fill a tank, none of it should hinge on whether a dictator declares war. So today I'm laying out a two-part plan, not only to ease the pain that families are feeling right now, but to end this era of dependence and uncertainty, and to lay a new foundation for true and lasting American energy independence. Parenthetically, just imagine if, in fact, Europe didn't have to count on Russian oil. If they were energy independent, it would change the nature of so much. The problem we're facing with gas prices has...
Grover doesn't agree with that.
No, he's howling at the sort of disingenuity of it.
Disingenuity?
It's disingenuous is what I'm saying. It doesn't come out right.
You sound like Biden on that.
Yes. So
I love when he says parenthetically. Well, what does that even mean? When someone says parenthetically, and then you can tell that he's like going off script to talk about Europe's coziness with Russian oil. He's right about that. I mean, Finland gets 92% of their oil from Russia.
So but they're also right along the border there. So
right, it's like very it's and so is
the
Norway,
lowest carbon
Norway.
Footprint of that
right,
oil.
Like, we'll take it right from you. Like, come on over. Yeah. We're right across the border here. So again, and these are the headlines this morning. I love they put, you know, Biden on the $1 bill. Yield inverts, recession ahead, and that's what we're facing in the United States. We've talked about the indicators in the United States. We've talked about the yield curve inversion. And we've talked about how now you can expect, you know, you can expect to be making less money by buying certain assets, particularly U.S. Treasuries, right? The negative effects of that. But you know who's doing pretty well, actually, is Russia. So the reason we titled our show this way is because that's exactly that. There's a number of economists coming out this morning pointing to the ruble's resurgence. And we're at a timeline right now, and the headlines are moving fast and furiously this morning. So even maybe by the end of this show, we'll have an update on where Russia stands on making you pay for Russian oil using Russian rubles instead of U.S. dollars.
Well, the deadline for that was yesterday.
Right.
So President Putin had given the world about a 2 or 3 weeks notice that you're going to put sanctions on us. Okay, but you still need our oil. So what we're going to do is no longer accept your currency for our oil, which the ruble at the time had been plummeting, now increases the value of the ruble because most nations cannot cut off their supply of gas from Russia. They just simply can't do it.
So
today
chart.
Is the day.
Yeah, go ahead. Look at the chart. I mean, and as according to the Washington Post this morning, Russia's ruble and banking system are showing continued signs of recovery from the initial punch of sanctions as Moscow relies on energy exports and currency controls to partly protect the nation's economy. So last week we featured a story from a journalist he's in China and he's been covering what's been going on and had a really interesting take. And he talked about, did Putin really outmaneuver everybody?
Mm-hmm.
What was the gist of that? I mean, the gist was basically that
in the current Cold War between the United States and China to be the default currency of the world, Russia was not even in the running, right? And the problem is that the United States is not able to sustain the amount of global business that happens on the dollar because the dollar right now is the currency that two nations trade if they don't have a common currency. That happens. China desperately wants that job because the United States is not growing commensurate with how much business happens on the dollar. So while the United States has been teetering on the brink of holding that position, China has been chomping on the bit to come in for that. Well, now Russia is saying, but you all continue to depend on our foreign exports now. So we're going to put ourselves in the position now to no longer collect on currencies that are not favorable to us. And we will, because you are so dependent on us, we're going to collect in our own currency. International leaders are saying this breaks certain agreements that we have in international trade laws. Russia doesn't care. They already
who
broke
cares?
Laws.
I don't care because think about this. Like we have used that position to get countries to do whatever we want. It's like, you don't do what we want, we're going to put sanctions on you because we control so much of this economy. So this was bound to happen. I mean, Putin is doing what any smart person would do and getting away from a dollar that's, first of all, losing value every single day. And like, the other countries are going to join in with this as well, because they don't want us to put sanctions on them. Be like, hey, if you don't do what we say, we're going to put sanctions on you and you're going to be hurting.
Yes. And why would we think about if the shoe were on the other foot, right? Like, if the ruble were the reserve currency of the world, how much debate would there be in the United States Congress on a regular basis about trying to move away from the ruble as a reserve currency?
Oh, like, we'd hear.
That's all we'd
already
be talking about.
Politicians are really afraid of cryptocurrency, which is something that they cannot regulate. So absolutely that happens, you know. But I get so upset when I hear this. It's Putin's fault that things cost you more, when during the pandemic we had the largest transfer of wealth since, I want to say, since the slaves were freed. In fact, there's really interesting data about when slaves were free, how much that actually cost. It was like the government taking people's assets in the largest in history, right? Because they were so valuable and could be traded just like stocks. It was awful. But the pandemic, you know, made a lot of people really wealthy. It gave up a lot of corporations more power than they had had before. They absolutely now can raise prices and stay high on the hog. And we can think that, oh, it's because of the pandemic. Okay, let's just blame the pandemic. Oh, it's because of this war. Let's just blame the war, right? But the government is actually spending, like we just said, way more than it takes in. The United States government is in more debt than ever before. And Wall Street has done really well. So because of this wealth transfer, because of this government spending, we have inflation happening, but it's super convenient to blame it on something that's happening all the way around the globe.
Right.
Well,
right.
And if you track it, you can see that it actually was happening before all this Russia stuff even happened.
Sure.
If you look at gas prices, they were on their way up at a even level, and it never stopped. It never went down. And then when Putin invaded, it went up. It was on a trajectory already.
Yeah, yes. And another piece of that, too, not only has gas prices been going up since the fall of last year, but which had nothing to do with Russia, in addition to which we've been sanctioning Russia for years, right? So Russia now is the most sanctioned country in the world. And look at that. Before February 22nd, it was already highly sanctioned, right? Now, after February 22nd, it accelerates beyond. And, you know, again, of course, it's as Chris Minahan, the one of the great journalists, has been reporting, he says here, I and others have warned for years that the D.C. regime was overusing sanctions and that we'd all end up with, at the end of this, was a U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency, was the end of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency, the collapse of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. That process is now accelerating, he says.
Well, it really bothers me, too, that people don't, like, people are like, oh, we're not sending boots on the ground. We're not dropping bombs. Sanctions are fine. We can get behind sanctions. And they sell it as, we're just going to put sanctions on them. They're not going to be able to do this. But understand, innocent people die with sanctions. So why would any of these countries allow us to continually, basically wage war on them with sanctions? It makes no sense to me.
Right. And as, you know, Dmitry Medvedev, I can never say his name. Medvedev. That's right. You've got to slow it down.
Medvedev.
When you speak so quickly. Everyone at home, try to say it right now on your own. See if you screw it up or say it correctly. Medvedev says that the era of regional currencies is coming because confidence in reserve currencies is melting away. Abandoning the dollar and the euro does not look like a fantastical prospect anymore. And I have to say, this was an interesting interview that the Gray Zone did. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov had this to say. This was in 2019. So watch this video from 2019 where he talks about the U.S. as the reserve currency and what is coming as a result of this. 2019.
That people will continuously use dollar and the U.S. financial system as the, you know, cardiovascular system of the whole organism. That will not be the case. People will bypass in literal term, and people will find ways how to defend themselves, how to protect themselves, how to guarantee themselves against any emergencies. China, Russia, others, we at the moment create alternatives. Then we will most probably move further into using not just national currencies, but baskets of currencies, currencies of third countries, other schemes, modern barter schemes are among those, but those are not sophisticated enough. But still, we will use ways that would diminish the role of dollar and U.S. banking system with all this risk of assets and transactions being arrested.
Right.
Right there.
So Bitcoin doesn't look so crazy anymore.
And you talked about a basket of currencies. So it's not
right.
just the ruble. It's, you know, it's Bitcoin.
Yes.
And did you say that that interview is from 2019?
2019. Yes. Yeah, it was a Gray Zone interview from 2019. With the deputy foreign minister of Russia talking about sanctions, talking about the U.S. reserve currency, and you're seeing it. And so, again, I come back to this article, which really was a jaw-dropping, stunning article. I don't know his full name, this journalist from China, but I think he really nailed it in this piece. What if Putin had outplayed us all? Skyrocketing ruble this morning. The demand that, hey, you want to buy my gas? You got to buy it in rubles. You got to buy it in rubles. We're not taking dollars anymore. We're not taking euros. And this massive, and again, that's why President Biden's
pulling. But he makes the point in the article that he needed a war in order to do this, right? That maybe he wanted to do this all along. That seems like a little bit of a connection that I can't really make, because it does seem like what he's accomplishing in Ukraine, which is taking back Russian separatist areas, was also the goal, not just financial.
Well, maybe it is, but maybe it is like a bridge too far. And it's like here, he knew how to play it, maybe. It's like this idea that you're playing this violin, you're playing these notes, knowing that, okay, once we do this into Ukraine, all of NATO is going to step up. What does that mean?
Yeah.
That means their dependence on us for oil, that, you know, they're going to levy even further sanctions upon us. Have we been able to sustain that? Are we able to do okay? So you can't go to McDonald's. You can go to other food places and, you know.
In Russia, you mean?
Yeah, in Russia.
Right.
So again, I just think this is a really fascinating story, one that I think we should all pay attention to, because here in the United States, you know, in the United States, you're think about all of the things that you're paying additional for. And the president of the United States, here's my biggest problem with the president releasing 180 million barrels of oil. Where's the plan around that decision? There's no plan. There's no economic plan.
No.
Nothing. Nothing, well, nothing, nothing.
And with those barrels, when they say release it, does that mean for sale to other countries? Like we're basically saying we're going to make it so that you don't have to be dependent on Russia. You can depend on the United States for oil. Because if that's the case, if we've got that much oil, why don't we use it here and take our own gas prices down and let the rest of the world worry about theirs for now?
Well, he does seem to be saying he's going to release it into American society, which is interesting because
also to sell to Europe.
Right.
Right.
And economists will say, well, then that will sort of increase the demand and make us think that it's a bit cheaper. So we might normalize. Right. So it does not actually change any behavior. So then this dependency will go on. So then what is the long game? Right. So all of us here are thinking, wow, like, can I live my entire life dependent on expensive gas? What is the more sustainable solution? Of course, everyone's now looking at electric cars, looking at more sustainable solutions. Can we change to that? Well, not on a dime, clearly. So then what ball are we kicking down the road?
Well, you know, if they're going to sell it out of the country, how does that benefit us? Like, are they still going to subsidize oil companies that are going to be making profits worldwide now? I mean, they already make world profit, but like, you know.
Well, and of course, you heard the president yesterday talking about price gouging and runaway prices. And so let me get this right. It's Putin's price hike, and you're also talking about price gouging and rising prices. And so we're going to tackle that. That's what the president said yesterday. That's what name names. Tell us which company is price gouging. If you're really saying this, then tell us which companies are doing this.
No, they won't do that. For instance, this insulin bill that passed the House yesterday, right? So the House passed a bill that limits the price that consumers will pay for insulin, but it does not limit the price that companies charge for insulin. It just says that you, the consumer, will only pay $35 a month for your insulin. Your insurance company will pay the rest of it. So it allows price gouging from insurance companies, which keeps your premiums higher, right? It does not actually lower the price of insulin, only the price that you pay, which then, of course, that price is going to, that continued inflated price will continue to be passed on to us, just not out of pocket every month. It's a crazy bill. Probably won't pass the Senate, but it's, you know, like pandering to voters who are insulin dependent. Like, that's a stupid solution. Come on, right? It's the same thing that's happening with gas. Like, we still approve price gouging. Sure, whatever. But it just has to not feel like it or look like it to the average voter who's just too stupid to understand economics.
Right. We're going to talk more about the cost of war in just a moment because, you know, hey, you guys all got behind those billions of dollars, right? Everyone was like excited. Congress was going to pass those billions of dollars in aid, humanitarian aid to Ukraine. But turns out that's a total farce. We'll tell you about that. Breaking news, though, just coming in here on this Friday about these are the jobs. It's Jobs Friday, everyone. Of course, Jobs Friday, the 1st of April. So here is the numbers from March. Here are the numbers from March. The economy added 431,000 jobs, which is not quite what they had anticipated. They were looking at 490 as the estimate. But still, the unemployment rate has now dropped to 3.6%. So 1.7 million jobs added. I mean, hiring has exploded. Unemployment at ridiculously low numbers, and yet inflation back to almost 1970s level. Prices of everything going up, gas at record levels. So that's great. We're employed, but the US dollar just doesn't go anywhere nearly as far as it used to.
Yeah. Also, there was a story in the newsletter about how more people than ever are failing drug tests for employment these days. So can you blame them?
Can you blame them?
How can you fault people? So,
yeah. All right, let's talk about the cost of war. So you remember a few weeks ago, Congress was all up and excited about passing humanitarian aid to Ukraine, right? It started out as $10 billion, and then it increased to $11 billion, and then it went up higher than that, and it kept going higher and higher and higher. And we were talking about the ridiculousness here on the show of this money and where it was going to go, who's going to account for it, is it going to go to military? No, it's supposed to be a huge piece of it was humanitarian aid, right? This is where it was going to go to help the people of Ukraine and help your refugees, to which we said, hey, I love this hypocrisy. Like, you stole $9 billion from Afghans out of their bank accounts, froze their banks after we destroyed their country for 20 years, and you won't give that money back. But we will give the Ukrainian government, who knows what the accounting is like, we're just going to send a check to Zelensky for $14 billion. And where's that money going to go? How's it being allocated? Turns out it's not good.
Right. Well, remember that this was in a bill to increase the debt limit so the United States could continue to run. So the government would not just halt to a stop, right? Which said that spending is out of control. The United States cannot sustain its current debt limit. But hey, let's pass a law that changes the rules so that we can take on more debt, because why not, right? So in that debt increase bill was $13.6 billion in aid for Ukraine, but it turns out more than half of that has already been earmarked for lethal aid, right? So for those of us think, well, what does it matter? Ukrainians are suffering. We then should just send them food, medical supplies, whatever they need to get out of their region, if that's the case, transport help, all of that stuff. Well, that's not what this is for. This is for weapons. In fact, in the bill, the word war is mentioned hundreds of times, and already $6.5 billion of that has been used for weapons such as guns, missile launchers.
The term military crops up over 350 times in the bill. Humanitarian, just 58 times.
Now, there is some reference to food and medical aid. That is supposed to be handled by the State Department, but the State Department does not owe us any accounting according to this bill. So we don't get to know, right, what our tax dollars buy in terms of like baby formula or diapers, which are things that none of us would object to, right? So why does this matter when obviously aid is needed for refugees, not just in Ukraine, but around the world? Well, because when the United States did the same thing, used the same language about sending aid to Afghanistan, that didn't go so well for us, right? And so are we just sort of going along with the flow, like, yeah, they need it, go ahead, and we're letting our government do the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, because again, the State Department in this whole rule here is the one responsible for doling out this money. Like the State Department has lone responsibility for deciding every aspect of the distribution of this money. They don't have to like consult with anybody else. Like,
yes,
it's the State Department, right? Which of course runs. Can you name like a building that they run?
The State Department?
Yeah. Do they run? What do they run? They run.
Travel and they exactly. Take care of Americans who live abroad, and also the State Department is like the PR department for right. America.
So again, this idea that, okay, maybe this is going to be for humanitarian disbursement, right? After all, it's the State Department, right? It could be for embassy, you know, it could around the world. It's not though.
Right.
And the way that this has been doled out, of course, is for military aid. And again, these agencies who got all of their hooks in this bill, I mean, you have $145 million for, to counteract disinformation. Like that's in here. $145 million is put in here to fight disinformation.
And actually the State Department does not have the personnel to distribute diapers in that area right now. I know this for a fact. And so, you know, I'm on all of these moms groups that are like, let's put our baby clothes and take the clothes that our babies have outgrown and give them and just send it on trucks. And you know, the State Department is saying, we don't have anybody there that's like, who's a size four? Anybody size four? What size diapers right. do you need? That's not there. You can send money.
They need food.
Right. And so this idea that we're just like, oh, let's just all be generous because we have empathy is wonderful, but very misguided.
One of the pieces of this that I found really outrageous, again, this $145 million, this slush fund to aid independent media to fight disinformation and misinformation. I mean, think about that, right? So is that $145 million responsible for blocking internet sites so Americans can't read certain sure. sources? Like, is that part of the slush fund so we can't
access? That or it's actually the opposite. It's the fund for disinformation. They just say it's against it.
Right. Oh, exactly. And we're going to talk more about that as it relates to Canada here in a moment. But, you know, again, so the U.S. Agency for Global Media, USAGM, which is a parent company of the CIA-created state-run outlets Radio Free Asia and Voice of America, basically are now given this extra money to counteract disinformation and provide factual data about the situation in Ukraine. Really? I'd love to go to their sources and see the updates on what's happening in the Donbas region. I want to see updates about the pullback out of Kyiv this morning and see what's happening there. I want to get this information. I'm sure that these sources, because you, the taxpayers, are funding this, $145 million, I'm sure this will be a great source for us to get some factual information.
Yeah.
We should do our whole show just pulling this factual information from these sources.
Well, you know, Americans do approve of sending aid to, in recent polls, how do you say this, Quinnipiac polls show that a large majority of Americans do want to send assistance to Ukraine to the tune of 75%, which is so interesting, right? Because who's asking Americans what other refugees need assistance, right? Like this is just this one area that has this bad conflict, but okay. Only 17% though, involve doing something, approve of doing something, even if it provokes war. So that's pretty low. Most people say, yes, let's send some money. Sure. Right. Write a check. But no, not if it brings war to our shore, then we should absolutely stay out of it.
Right. All right, we've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about GOP is on damage control this morning on a story that is pretty dirty, pretty interesting, as it relates to Madison Cawthorn, who is a Republican North Carolina member of the House of Representatives, young guy, who is kind of letting the cat out of the bag about how dirty Washington, D.C. is. But now up the elites in Washington are saying, shh, you're not allowed to say the quiet part out loud about what we do on our our night times around here in DC. So we'll talk about that. But first, I'm going to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, where Moomoo has some great offers for free stocks, five free stocks, and additional bonuses just for opening your account at Moomoo. You can start trading anytime, anywhere, smart trading with Moomoo, with free in-depth market data and a whole suite of analytical tools right at your fingertips. So now what you do is you just go here to morninginvest.com/Moomoo, click on the download button. You can download it on your desktop, your PC, your Mac, whatever, and you can start trading, start learning, and be up and running in no time. The best part is they're giving away five free stocks just for opening your account right now. So go right there and click on the free stocks and you see what they're going to give you just for opening your account. Just for opening your account, you'll get some free stocks. And then when you make your initial deposit, you will get additional bonus stocks. And they're giving it away, went up to five free stocks right now, worth up to $3,500 each. So from $3 up to $3,500, and they pick them at random, by the way. And so you might get a couple hundred dollars in that bonus, might be a few thousand. Anyway, they're giving them up to, so you can really get up to about $7,000 in free stocks just for opening your account. You can try it right now. And you can start getting, and they're actually giving away the bonus today. Get your free Apple stock just by taking the quiz when you go there today. And Apple, I think it's Apple's trading at like $144 a share as of this morning, something like that. So right now, through the end of April, you can get your chance to get that Apple stock by going to morninginvest.com/Moomoo. Get your five free stocks plus your bonus right now at Moomoo. Morninginvest.com/Moomoo is the place to go. Our thanks to them for supporting the show.
Well, you know how Republicans say they don't like Republicans attacking Republicans. What is that? Is that a Ronald Reagan quote? I think, they all say it is. I'm not completely sure, yeah. But they like to use it on the talk show circuit. Well, that's happening. North Carolina representative is a freshman representative, Madison Cawthorn, is facing a challenger. And he has not been backed by his fellow GOP buddies. He is a representative who is, he's in a wheelchair. And what, remind me again of why he's a veteran?
I don't know his full history, so don't put me on the spot there.
Okay, sorry, I thought you had said it while we were discussing it earlier. Anyway, he's
a young guy. He's one of the youngest members of Congress, by the way.
And yes, and so he's had a series of what the GOP is calling missteps. For instance, he recently got charged with speeding and had some driving violations. He said something about Ukrainian President Vladimir Putin calling him a thug, and no one liked to hear that because right now we are supposed to agree that Zelensky is a hero. We can't say anything critical about the government of Ukraine, even though it has been ranked very corrupt pre this war. Now we're supposed to think it's utopia that we are all protecting. So yeah, why are his buddies turning on him, Clayton?
So he went on a podcast the other day and made some sort of offhand remarks. It was kind of a younger guy hosted podcast where he talked about what it's like to work in Washington, D.C. and what it's like to, you know, be the young guy in Washington, D.C. and talks about getting invited to these different parties with Republican elites and other members of the media and so forth. And he talks about these wild claims, basically, about what happens in Washington, stuff you're not really allowed to talk about. Like, everyone there knows that this stuff happens, but you're just not allowed to talk about it. But he did. Listen.
How much, in your opinion, because you've been behind the veil, is this a fictitious show?
Now, he's talking about House of Cards. You know, he's talking about, like, West Wing and House of Cards. And basically, House of Cards was the context here. Like, is this real deal? Like, or is that just, like, fantasy?
Or is this more closer to like a documentary? Is it that bad?
So I heard a former president that we had in the 90s was asked the question about this. And he gave an answer that I thought was so true. And he said, the only thing that's not accurate in that show is that you could never get a piece of legislation about education passed that quickly.
And that's, everything else is good?
Aside from that, I mean, the sexual perversion that goes on in Washington, I mean, it, being kind of a young guy in Washington, remember the average age is probably 60 or 70. And I look at all these people, a lot of them that I've looked up to through my life, always paid attention to politics, guys that, you know, then all of a sudden you get invited to, like, well, hey, we're going to have kind of a sexual get-together at one of our homes. You should come. And I'm like, what did you just ask me to come to? Yeah. And then you realize they're asking you to come to an orgy.
Yeah.
Or the fact that, you know, there's some of the people that are leading on the movement to try and remove, you know, addiction in our country. And then you watch them do, you know, a key bump of cocaine right in front of you.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's so dirty.
Yeah. And so now I will say that this is accurate. I have my own sources on this. I've never been to one of these parties, but I've covered Washington for many, many years. And I have independent sources who verify that this is actually the case.
Have you ever got a paperless post to no, a never. Sexual gathering?
I've never gotten one. I've never gotten an invitation to one of these. But I know people that have would go to them regularly. And it was actually well known. So I can confirm through my own sources that this actually happens. Well,
are they? Here's an important question. Are they bipartisan?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think so. But the ones that I knew were on the conservative side. The ones that I knew that went to these parties, the ones that I have verification of, I can't speak. I don't know on the liberal side, on the liberal side of the aisle, but you have to imagine. But I do have verification on the conservative side.
But do you think that they mingle? Like, do you think that the arguing on the House floor is like foreplay?
I don't know. I don't have confirmation of that. So I can't. You have to think so, right?
This is gross. This story is gross.
But
I don't want to hear about
Serena 77 says he's not a veteran, by the way, just to be clear. He's not a veteran. I don't
okay,
know.
Thank
I don't
you
know.
For that clarification.
I don't have a lot of history of Madison Cawthorn, like his backstory. But I will say that this is true. Now, Republicans are not happy about this. Okay. So now what's interesting is that after this story broke, there's like all these people in Washington are like, uh-oh, is he going to name names? Like, is he going to start to talk about these members of Congress on the Republican side that are going to these sexual parties?
Is this another GMAX?
Exactly. Like whose names are going to be released, right? He holds the keys to this. And he said the quiet part out loud. This is absolutely happening. And so now Representative Kevin McCarthy, of course, the minority leader of Republicans, said publicly, like, well, I'm going to have him into my office. We're going to have a meeting, right? So basically, he got taken to the woodshed over this comments. And so the reporting now is that Representative Kevin McCarthy to Axios admitted that in a tense meeting with Representative Kevin McCarthy, that his claims that House GOP colleagues have done cocaine and invited him to orgies were exaggerated, the House GOP leader told Axios. And then in this piece, he says,
Wait. The House leader said that. So he said that I had the boy over and the boy admitted that these were exaggerated claims. But actually, the boy himself has not said this.
Exactly.
McCarthy is saying that. Okay.
So Cawthorn is not coming out saying that he's walking this back. Like he's. And now there's talk this morning in Politico of primarying this guy. Saying, okay, you know what? He's a weak link. Let's put up another candidate here and run up against him because, you know what? This is not, we can't be talking about this stuff. I mean, that's literally what's happening. If you read the Politico piece this morning, fellow Republicans started suggesting he is the next incumbent that is under threat. The North Carolina conservative appeared alongside other House Republicans at a fundraiser, the Trump-backed opponent of Representative Liz Cheney. It's not clear if Cawthorn knew how conspicuous that choice was when with Republicans still seething over his claims about sexual perversion parties in Washington. Well, so yes, he didn't say this, right? Like Representative McCarthy is coming out saying that he exaggerated this. Well, independently of this, what do I have that here? Yes, just when you thought this tweet, just when you thought that Madison Cawthorn Coke orgy saga couldn't get any more strange, Roger Stone just wrote on Gab, which is a, what is Gab? Gab's a...
I have no idea.
It's like a signal or it's like a tweet, Twitter, something. Just wrote, Congressman Madison Cawthorn just told me he has not retracted his claims about drug-fueled orgies among D.C. elite. And I'm not going to go into details about this, but Roger Stone would know.
Oh. Okay.
You could read between the lines there. But I'm telling you, like, Roger Stone is basically saying, hey, Cawthorn is not pulling back. He's not retracting his comments. This sort of like whitewashing of this is literally coming out of the speaker's, the House Minority Leader's office.
This story is gross. It's so swampy.
Yeah, here's more. Melanie Zanova says, news. McCarthy says he told Madison Cawthorn during a meeting today that the freshman has lost his trust and he needs to take steps to turn his life around, or else there could be consequences. Oh, and then he also says Cawthorn admitted to him in private, like his orgy and cocaine stories were exaggerated or untrue. He didn't really mean that. Oh, really? Really? So Manu Ranju from CNN says Senator Tom Tillis, GOP senator from North Carolina, unloads on Madison Cawthorn after his comments about sex and drug parties. I thought about the statement if it's true, and then he's got a lot of information to reveal. If it's not true, then he's guilty of being untruthful. Tillis adds, I thought it was a really silly statement, and it's not the first one that he's made. Basically, is Cawthorn a problem? Well, at the end of the day, people in this district are going to have to vote for him, and I would ask them to look at his record and what he's doing since he's been here as a North Carolina Republican. What has he done? So, man, they're really uncircling the wagons. Tom Tillis says, what is his track record of working on tough issues? What's he done
for
the
western
part of the state?
They can't have this. Republicans can't have this story out there. They'll lose the Christian right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Asked for his assessment whether Cawthorn had accomplished much in his first term, Tillis said, not a lot in my opinion.
All right, but can you put him up against other freshman lawmakers? And then, you know, no, because
put him up against AOC.
Right, because no, we can't do that because he's saying things we don't like.
I mean, I he's being honest. I like that he's saying that, and he's the one, he's the one who literally went after Zelensky and called him a thug. I mean, and you can't say that because that's where we're funneling so much money and weapons to that area. You can't say that. And here's the second time now he's basically like, hey, I know what you guys do under the dark of night in Washington, D.C.
How do they have, if they're like in their 60s and 70s, how do they have all this energy to like get up early and get on camera and hair and makeup, and
Viagra.
Then also at night,
Viagra,
have
New
these...
Vigil.
Yeah, who knows what
it's
they're
called?
Doing.
New Vigil. That's what Obama was on.
New Vigil.
My ex was a pharmaceutical rep, and she sold this New Vigil stuff. And if you took it, you were like, you were ultra focused, but you just wanted to spend money. It was weird.
What the heck are you talking about? Obama was on. How do you know this?
It was verified. He was on a thing called New Vigil. It was a prescription. You get it under prescription. I don't know what it's actually prescribed for. I don't remember that. But all I know is how it made me feel when my wife gave me some.
New Vigil. Okay. Yeah. Here it is. New. Let me see what this is. New Vigil. Okay. Is that what it is? New Vigil?
Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
So if I take this, I will have the energy for orgies too. And
you would have the energy for orgies
at
9:30? And you would spend money.
Well, we don't need that. Two things that I don't want my wife to do.
Wait.
More, yeah.
Why no fun for Natalie, but the GOP gets to do all this fun things.
You can still
go read your books at night, okay. Natalie, and stay still.
Fine. No, you can go to the orgies. I just don't want you spending money. No. So, I mean, this is what's happening in the Republican Party right now. And like, you know, trying to
not right now, apparently. For always.
And again... Yeah,
I was just going to say there's a thing that says tucked away under the list of medications in a report on President Obama's recent physical exam is the intriguing notion jet lag time zone management is what he was taking New Vigil for.
Oh, okay. I might try it for that then. I hate jet lag. It feels like actual pain for me when I can't do it.
I have a friend, Trey Radcliffe, who's a great photographer. He says his superpower is he doesn't get jet lag. Because he would travel the world and shoot photo, and he never, and I witnessed that firsthand. Like he literally shot like videos with me in New York, like after flying from New Zealand, and he was just fine as all could get out. I'm like, how are you doing this right now?
But like, let's not pretend that we're super scandalized about politicians doing this. When having gone through the Clinton era, you know, like,
Well, first of all, what do you do in your own personal time? It's none of my business. But when you try to shut down a sitting member of Congress and discredit him and get him to change his story and then literally have the party come down on him in order to get him primaried, that's when I find it interesting. To me is when it's newsworthy. Same thing. He speaks out and tells the truth. He tells the truth here and he tells the truth about Vladimir Zelensky and gets slapped. He gets slapped down by the leadership. You can't say this. You can't say this out loud. And he's going to be primaried out because he's speaking the truth.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on this story. I think it's interesting.
All right. Yeah. Time to talk about this Disney story. Hang on. Let me crack my knuckles.
Yeah.
All right.
We didn't hear that.
It didn't really crack. You'll have to put it in post. Click, click, click. All right. So, guys, Disney has decided, after much pressure from who the heck knows, people are pushing, people online are upset that Disney sort of let the, I don't want to call it the Don't Say Gay bill, the parental rights education bill pass in Florida, as if Disney is made up of elected officials. They are not, right? But because it happened in Florida and Disney has a large presence in Florida, people are somehow blaming Disney, saying they didn't do enough to stop it, which in and of itself is a strange thing to say. But okay, let's pretend that Disney had the power to stop this. And not pretend that we have elected officials who are supposed to do things that are representative of what we want. So now Disney is saying, well, we do actually have a goal as a company for the law to be repealed by the legislature or struck down in courts. They're saying we are going to throw our power behind stopping this bill or somehow getting it repealed. And so Republican lawmakers in Florida are saying, oh, really? You'd like to do that? Well, then what we can do is repeal a law from 1967 that allows Disney to act as its own government in Florida because of the land that they are on is a self-governed land, and Disney is the largest owner of the land in that area. So they have happily skipped through all kinds of legislation since the inception of the park in the early 70s. They are saying we are having meetings, active meetings, to repeal Disney's privilege if they're going to come after us. So it is a like, oh, really? You think you can do this kind of thing? So this is an exact example of how woke capitalism can go wrong. Because why would a company do this except for pressures from three different a company, right, has a fiduciary to shareholders, period, right? But does a company also have a social right to make the world a better place? This is what's at debate. So there, either a company gets pressure from employees, from customers, or from sort of social media, right? It did seem, so employees were trying to make it seem like Disney was having pressure from employees to do something about this legislation. That turned out not really to be the case. There was no walkout when there was supposed to be, except for people who had cushy desk jobs, right? Are shareholders asking for this? No, shareholders don't want anything that is actually going to hurt the company or distract the company from profit. Are consumers or customers asking for this? Well, that's debatable, right? So there are people who are saying, I no longer want to go to Disney. I no longer want to watch their shows or buy their products because they didn't do anything about this bill. The bill, we've talked about its merits, so I don't want to bring that up. What I want to bring up is whether or not it is within Disney's rights to say they can work to repeal a legislation. Should they say this? Does this break their fiduciary? And is it contradictory, right? It's such a crazy argument right now.
Well, and also, should Disney be able to govern itself? I mean, like, is Disney its own country?
Well, it has been.
It has been since the, what, late 70s?
Yeah, or in 1967, but yeah. The park opened in 71.
So, of course, all of the money that was funneling into that area, I lived in Orlando for quite a while, and I know, I mean, they have, like, broad authority. Of course, if you've ever been to Orlando, Florida, and you go to Disney World, you know that once you enter that part of the area near Kissimmee, Florida, and you enter the Disney zone, so to speak, all the street signs are different. Like, where else can you go in America where the street signs literally have a different font and a different character? Like, you can, the stop signs are like Disney stop signs. The street signs are Disney stop signs, the street speed limit signs. Like, they're written with the Disney font. And look, I love going to Disney. So I'm not, you know, that's the problem I have is, like, I love that experience. I love the movies. I love the shows and all of that. But I can't stand the wokeness. You know, and so Governor DeSantis was asked about this, the leaked video from this corporate meeting where they're going on this woke agenda and going to attack as much as they can this bill and to push as hard as they can. Here was Governor DeSantis' response to this woke movement by Disney.
Well, and especially, Tucker, you got to wonder, like, why is the hill to die on to have transgenderism injected into kindergarten classrooms or woke gender ideology injected into second grade classroom? Why is that the hill to die on? Meanwhile, if we had done a bill that prohibited talking about the abuse of Uyghurs in China, Disney would have supported that legislation because they don't want to say a word about that. So it's just an odd manifestation of their corporate values that they actually do Disney cruises, Tucker, to the nation of Dominica, which criminalizes homosexuality. So they're fine doing that and lining their pockets. They're fine lining their pockets from the CCP and all the atrocities that go on there. But it's those kindergartners in Florida that they really want to have transgenderism as part of their core curriculum in school.
Ouch. I mean, it's true. I mean, this is the again, I come back to this. This is the trouble with wokeism. Once you start to go woke as a company, once you're a company and you start to inject yourself politically, you pick and choose. You pick and choose what you're standing for. So Disney, on the one hand, can stand, you know, against this parental grooming bill, right? We're going to stand firm against this. But then at the same time, we also can thank the Chinese government for letting us shoot the movie Mulan in your country, in the areas right near where these religious Uyghurs have been sterilized, tortured, monitored, surveilled, and basically, for all intents and purposes, a genocide. Like, that's okay. We'll look over here, but we won't look over there. And that's what wokeism creates. It
and
creates
I have
this
a
hypocrisy.
Problem with this idea that a company should have more influence than a voter, right? And right. So voters voted in Ron DeSantis and everyone else who approves of this bill. So if you don't like that, then vote out, right? But then to go to companies around there and they're like, you're making money in this state and you didn't do anything about it.
And I'm not going to go to Disney. I'm not going to go to the Magic Kingdom because you didn't speak out against. That's the crap I can't stand. Like, who, by the way, who are these people? I think we established on a previous episode.
But
I think we established on this previous show this idea that there's like this massive army of people who are like, we're not going to buy Disney tickets anymore. No, it's not. It's like a few woke people on Twitter with blue check marks that are actually upset about it.
Right.
Where is this mob? By the way, the people that are going to Disney, the people that are actually buying tickets, it's expensive to go there.
Yeah.
These are not people that are upset about this. I'm just going to say that. This is not going to affect their overall park admissions. Park admissions are up.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is a few woke people who are stirring the pot on this. And they have, because of Twitter, because of social media, they have a larger cudgel of which to work with.
And my perception of it is that it's the same woke people who don't like corporate interest or don't like consolidation of power inside a company, but then want those same companies to assert their powers for what they want, right? So it's a conundrum there. And it bothers me to think about pressuring a company just for its presence somewhere in order to, like, it. Well, you can't pick up the crumbs of woke capitalism and get somewhere, right? It just doesn't work.
Sandy McLeod on our chat says Delta Airlines, Coca-Cola, Disney et al. Should stay in their lane. Exactly. Again, I recommend the book Woke Incorporated. It's a great book. It's written by a former biopharmaceutical CEO who was basically canceled because he didn't speak out on a particular issue as a company. It's like, well, we make drugs. Like, why you want us to issue company-wide memos about this political thing? Like, what? That's what we do, is try to save people's lives. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Why do you want me to weigh in on this? And he was basically canceled over it. And he really, it's a great book. It's called Woke Incorporated. And I highly recommend. He makes some great points about these companies. Like, if liberals really cared about making change in this country, they would go after issues that really, if they talk about like systemic racism, but they go after the wrong things that aren't systemic racism.
Oh, well,
we
saw that absolutely during the Canadian envoy, right? Liberals do not want to support the working class. No.
Right. I mean, he makes the point specifically around summer break. He said if there's one thing that liberals could really go against and really fight, and you want to talk about systemic racism, summer break actually, the data is overwhelming that it adversely affects people of color in the United States. And, you know, if you're wealthy, you can go off and take your trips. You can fly wherever you want. You can go to summer camps. We can put little Junior in a summer camp and the logging, you know, he can learn how to fish and all of this other stuff. But people of color in certain communities, they absolutely cannot afford, and he makes that case overwhelmingly, that that really adversely affects.
Don't say that, because wealthy people in private schools need to have the February break to go to the Swiss Alps.
Right.
They cannot worry about people of color whose kids just have to watch TV.
Exactly. And that's unfortunate, but that's the case. If you really want to fix some of these issues, liberals would never get behind getting rid of summer break, like structuring a school year so that it was.
I would.
There's no, yeah, because you don't want the kids home.
That's exactly why.
But
12 weeks is too long.
But they're never going to fight for that. He makes the point that they're not going to, like, the data is overwhelming in that, but they just will ignore that. They're just,
well,
they'd
and
much
unfortunately,
rather
that's
focus
saying.
On those.
That saying is correct. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, because it is a minority, but it is a loud minority. And all these companies cave to it because they think, oh, well, we can't look like we're against, you know, a certain sect of people.
Right.
So then how would you answer the question? Well, if you don't ask corporations to stand up for social rights, how do you make change? Right.
Right. Ask the question again.
So then, you know, the question that you're left with is like, well, you got to ask everybody to participate in social change. And so why wouldn't we involve Disney in this, right?
Well, it's sad because what we now understand about corporations is the amount of weight they carry. Like, what I think in many ways we're acknowledging that we are run by oligarchy. You know, we're run by these companies. We're run by big money in Wall Street. And all of these big companies run the show. So we feel like, okay, we as people maybe don't have a voice, which is not true. We absolutely do. So instead of us, the people, why don't we go to these big corporations where Bob Iger can get on the phone and make a phone call?
Or yeah.
Just go right to Tim Cook.
But it's like my vote didn't actually accomplish with what I wanted. So I'm going to ask a company then to put more power.
Like a do-over.
Right.
I think what the problem is people put so much power in all these other things. It's like when Occupy Wall Street was going on, like, you guys are in New York. You're on a branch of this big tree, but nobody is going to where the roots are. And the roots are Washington. It's the whole system in Washington is corrupt, and it breeds this behavior. It's like they're taking corporate money, so they're making laws that benefit these corporations and stuff. So the root of the problem is what's going on with Washington. And until we fix that, none of this stuff is going to get fixed.
Yeah. And so people keep asking in the chat about our corporations people. Remember, Mitt Romney famously said the corporations are people, right?
Yeah.
And, can we get over that piece? Like, they're not people. Right. They're not people, but we're asking these big corporations to act as if they are people.
Right. Because we're not happy with what happened to our vote, or we're just too impatient. Right. Like, OK, this current cycle, this lawmaker did something I don't like. So maybe next cycle I can, help vote in someone who will do something different. Well, we don't want to wait for that. Right. We just want to instead attack Ron DeSantis now at this point.
And this is the same move, by the way, we should point out. Like, so right now, Republicans are threatening to take away Disney's right to govern status, that they get to do whatever they want. They have their own fire department, I guess. You know, they have their own police department. You know, when you drive down and through that area in Orlando, like, they have their own fire department in their own jurisdiction.
They have their own butter.
Their own sanitation system.
They have everything. Like, let them govern themselves. And this is the same thing that we do with Israel. Right. Where we threaten, we're not going to send you that $40 billion that we send you every year. So what we'll do is we'll quietly just bring up a vote on the floor of the Congress. Like, you're not falling in line with what we want from you. So we're just going to, Congress is going to hold a floor vote this afternoon on something that relates to Israel. And wouldn't you know it, Israel falls in line immediately with us because they want to make sure that they get that $40 billion. And that's exactly what's happening here.
Disney's economy is probably, what percentage of you think the Florida economy comes from Disney and stuff like that? So it's like they have the power to be like, no, you're not going to sanction us.
Yeah, right. But then where else would they go? You know, they're not going to go to another high tax state.
No, I don't think they'd have to leave. I think they could just be like, yeah, no, you're not doing that. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. Sue us.
We'll see.
Yeah, Disney World does wonders for the Florida economy, according to smartassets.com. $18 billion in annual economic revenue generated locally by Disney parks in Orlando for Florida. It accounts for 2.5% of Florida's gross domestic product. I thought it would have been higher than that.
Maybe.
But 2.5%, according to the
data. I was figuring it would be higher, too.
Yeah.
But still, you'd be willing to mess with something that's that much of your economy? Like, if you have any kind of surplus or whatever, it's probably because of that.
Right. 463,000 jobs in the state of Florida are for the work at Disney World. That's incredible. And it is interesting. Ron DeSantis did bring up a good point. He said, since when does a California company, it's based in California, get to weigh in on what we do here in the state of Florida?
Like, yeah.
You know, we don't, you people want to move here and vote in your elections. Like the people of Florida wanted this. They voted for it. They voted these individuals in. You know, Florida gets what it asks for, basically.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that's what happens. Elections have consequences, and we have the ability to vote people out if we don't want them.
Yeah.
So,
or wind to Disney to change it.
All right, let's head north of the border now. Let's talk about Justin Trudeau. So Justin Trudeau, of course, is now back from Belgium. He's back, and he's making sure that he's taking up the mantle of freedom fighter in the country of Canada once again. Now, you recall there was a lot of concern over what was being said on social media, in the mainstream media at the time around the Ottawa Freedom Convoy, and what was Justin Trudeau going to do about it? He was speaking publicly that there's a lot of disinformation being shared about this. Well, now he has created a task force, this new advisory group, this for online safety in Canada, which is going to combat misinformation and use disinformation, I guess, to fight misinformation, because they've now hired one of his top right hand guys is Bernie Farber, who during the Ottawa lockdown, during the Freedom Convoy, was actively spreading misinformation and disinformation. So Justin Trudeau's plan in all of this to fight disinformation is going to fight disinformation with more disinformation, I guess. There's Bernie Farber on a Zoom call during one of their big meetings, right to the left of him there. That's him. Let's listen to, I think I have his, I thought I had it. Maybe I don't have his sound. No, I wasn't able to download it. But he talks about, you know, we've got these problems. We've got, here he is speaking.
And while social media and
can barely hear that.
Spaces can be tools for good. They can be dangerous spaces too. The internet has allowed for more mis and disinformation, more polarization than ever before. And we're likely, much more likely to be exposed to and hurt by unacceptable, hateful content. Oh. You may know that.
So what's interesting about this individual, by the way, there's a giant, ugly toe fungus.
I was going to say, could you go full screen?
Don't. I had to look away.
Like, isn't it appropriate there's a giant toe fungus picture like right beneath that video? Makes sense. I'll let you speak on this, but
I don't want to.
Okay. You don't want to say anything about this story? Okay.
Well, he did. He warned us about slippage. So this is exactly what he's going to do about it.
Well, here's Bernie Farber during the Ottawa uprising saying this was taken by a friend in Ottawa at the occupation, apparently in plain sight. You could walk up to this, right? These are the Nazis that are sharing he was spreading this Nazi BS. He was spreading all sorts of misinformation about what was happening on social media and on television and on these Zoom calls and through his social media channels. This is what's taken by my friend. Every single aspect of the COVID agenda is Jewish, right? Well, that turns out, you know, without any regard, like this was total garbage because this was actually posted in Miami, Florida. And literally he took it and posted it as if it was happening in Ottawa, even right down to the background, which is the same ceramic background that it was pulled from. This was in Miami Beach. An anti-Semitic COVID-related conspiracy flyer being handed out had nothing to do with Canada.
How does this happen? I mean, can we give him any modicum of benefit of the doubt here? It's really hard.
He says this was taken by my friend. This was taken by my friend in Ottawa. Well, that's a lie.
Yeah.
Right? That's a flat lie.
So maybe he has a friend who texted it to him, and that friend is named Justin Trudeau.
No.
Is that possible?
I mean, he says if it's illegal in person, it's illegal online. He says Canadians want the government to play a role, but especially when it comes to standing up for the communities who suffer the most or harmful content online, such as radicalized Canadians. We need to fight radicalized Canadians.
This is incredibly dangerous. Even this campaign at all is incredibly dangerous. And we saw exactly how it was dangerous, right? Because it took away people's rights to peacefully protest COVID vaccine mandates. And the Canadian government just seems to be doubling down, even after the kind of spanking they got in Europe for taking away people's civil liberties and basically paying lip service to democracy and not really holding one. Now they're like, well, you know, then we need to fight this information slippage so you don't think what we're doing is wrong, so we can do it without being called wrong.
Right. So let's
make sure. Please don't put that toe back up.
I'm not putting the toe back up.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're listening to the audio version, in this video, there was a giant toe fungus advertisement there. So we will not show it. But I think this speaks to, like, you know, we're trying to win back your trust. You know, we're trying to win back your trust and take care. Make sure that you are protected against Canadians who are speaking their mind. Canadians who feel like there's an invasion of their privacy. Canadians who feel like you're invading their way of life, telling them how to run their telling them how to earn their livelihood or take away their livelihood. We're going to fight that by putting out people who literally were spreading misinformation and lies and propaganda during the Ottawa lockdown, during the Freedom Convoy.
So I just wonder who is applauding this move. Like, yay, good. You know, I think most of us realize that, you know, they started taking down voices that we didn't like, and then it's creeped into taking down all voices that now are against the government, and we're in a dangerous place at this point. Mm-hmm. I also want to point out that we both have that ad on our screen, and it is not targeted. Neither of us have toe fungus.
Right. All right, good.
Just sure. Let you know.
That's exactly what somebody with toe fungus would say. Feet? Prove it.
All right, we need to move on because, like, the chat room is literally putting
toe fungus stuff.
No, putting up like barfy emojis because they can't take it, and I can't either. So why don't I tell you what's trending?
Well, wait. I think we should because we told everybody Friday we would announce the name of the new show and everything, and we haven't talked about that. So,
all right,
if you want to talk about that
after, because okay. Clinton just ran to I don't know what he just did. He just ran out on me.
Well,
to deal with his toe fungus. No, seriously, we have no
time. So it was true.
Why would we both get it? All right, let's see. Let me open my... Here we go. Are you ready for what's trending? Here we go. Jared Leto is trending because the movie Morpheus is out today. Reviews are not great, you guys. It's got a 17% on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's the critic score. The user score is better. But people seem to be intrigued by Jared Leto, or I was hoping that Philip would be here today because he could tell us the temperature of things on Reddit. Because I think that people think he's a strange bird.
Well, he ruined the Joker. Like, he did horrible at the Joker, and I think that that's kind of like putting him in any role like that anymore, I think, is asking for, you know, because people are just like, he didn't sell it well.
Okay.
He's not that great with certain roles.
Some are saying that he is a Marvel Batman now, sort of.
Oh, well,
I guess.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, Crocker is trending. This is a character from the Paramount Plus series, The Fairly Odd Parents, Fairly Odder. It's based on the Nickelodeon series, and people who watch the original series have very strong opinions about the new Crocker. I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
Never heard of it.
All right, well, if you start watching, you'll have to watch for Crocker. Harry Styles is trending because he released a new single for his upcoming album, As It Was. The album's out in May, and people are excited about that.
I don't know that I've ever, like, I could not name one of his songs.
Yeah, I watched the video, and it's pretty, you know, it's non-offensive. It's a crowd pleaser, is what I'm going to
call it. Does he have a good voice?
It's pop. Sure, yeah. It's not like I would like seek it out, but I can see how the young people like it.
Arlene Morrow says, Natalie, I thought I was going crazy. Do you keep changing your hair?
So
yes,
I had like cut bangs for this 90s party, and now they're too short. I don't like to wear bangs. So
wait, you cut your hair for the party?
Well, I cut some bangs. I wear them sort of side sweeped.
That
but then I cut
is
them
commitment,
short.
Right?
Yeah, and it's not really bangs come and go. But thank you for thinking that. So yeah, it's just going crazy right now. Like, but sorry. Okay, let's talk about the Toyota GR Corolla hatchback is trending because people are excited about the new Corolla unveiled on Thursday. It's an all-wheel drive turbocharged hatchback that they're calling high performance. It comes in manual transmission only, so automatic drivers need not apply.
Is it electric or?
It's not.
Hmm.
No.
It's a cool still releasing. They're still releasing cars with gas?
I think that it's
with Putin's price hike, how are you going to pay for that?
Well, I don't know. It's Toyota, so. And finally, I don't think I have a tweet of this. Oh, earthquake is trending because an earthquake hit Los Angeles last night right around midnight, and people were wondering if it was an April Fool's joke, but it was not. Mother Nature does not play that game.
It wasn't a point or a 9 point whatever, then I guess that was an April Fool's joke because it's like, hey, this could have been worse.
I suppose. And I mean, it was in the like twos and threes on the Richter scale.
Yeah.
I saw conflicting. So
there you go. Like it's a joke. Like, is this a joke? Like, who wakes up? It's like
rattling my house. Wait,
it's April Fool's Day right now, right? Is this a joke? Someone doing something. Is the city of wherever I live effing with me?
Alex Jones.
So weird.
Okay, all right. Before we move on to pet photos, David wanted us to reveal the name of our new show.
And I have the logo up to show.
Where's okay. that? Okay.
Let me share my desktop here really quick.
Yes. So we're really excited about this. The impetus for this was, look, you know, this show started out really as an investment show back in 2016. It's evolved. We've got other channels that handle that here. So under our umbrella of media, we have multiple channels here. We've got our real estate investing channel. We have the, you know, our stock and just general investing channel with crypto. We have our Paranormal Post channel. And we have our main channel, which covers the broader news of the world, and that's this channel. So the name really didn't fit anymore, and plus the time and all of that. So we decided we're going to make a big switch. And since most of the stories that we cover here on the show are things you're not going to see in the mainstream media. They're stories that are either whitewashed, covered up, redacted, hidden. And so, you know, you won't get these stories if you watch CNN, you won't get these stories if you watch your mainstream media. And so that was where we came up with a name for the new show. Will be called Redacted. So that is the name of the new show, Redacted. And this is our new logo. So the show will be Redacted. Anything you want to say on that? Or am I the only one?
No, you said it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's cool. No, her comment has been redacted.
Yes.
So it's funny because...
and I will wear black tape over my mouth the whole time.
I mean, like all the news, like a lot of the news that I cover, whether it's UFO related news or government news that, you know, vaccine data. I mean, think how many stories we've covered over the past few months that has like information has been withheld from us. It's been redacted from us.
Yeah.
It's been kept from you.
So we're going after the things that are redacted either from social media or from the government or from news. So we hope you like it.
Starting Monday, you guys, when you get the notification for the showtime, it's going to be coming from a channel called Redacted News. But it's
and you
redacted
are subscribed to it.
Yes. You don't have to do anything. All your memberships, your subscription, everything carry over. You don't have to do a thing.
Yeah. So the channel URL will switch, but your memberships and everything that you have here will stay the same. It's just we're changing the branding. I'm going to be on the phone with YouTube, the team from YouTube, like later today, like making some big changes for that in anticipation of Monday. Someone asked in the chat, will we have some merch? Oh, yeah. We're going to have some great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Your Imperial Majesty is like... let me think about that. That was my exact reaction to the name. But Clayton was all in on it. And so
it hit me like a ton of bricks. But you know why? Here's honestly, because I love my paranormal news. I was reading UFO documents that were released by the Pentagon and where there were pieces of redacted information. Like, and I was going over it. I'm like, you know, this. And then on the same day or the day after, we covered here on the show that Pfizer data that was released where they had redacted key data points about their trials, like stuff they kept from you, they kept from us, as it related to the efficacy and the health of their vaccine. and it was redacted. I thought, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, redacted is the name of the show.
When you said that, I got excited. For our first show, because
I think I revealed logo. I revealed it to you and Philip simultaneously, and you both were like, "Yes!" I'm like, "All right, good,
yeah,
good,
yeah."
I don't want to rush on it. Yeah,
like as soon as you said that, my mind just started being like, "Oh my gosh!" Like we could do this and this and this, and so all week we've been doing the new graphics and getting the show ready, and we were just like, "Oh, we got to do this because this." It's like we're like all pumped up over here.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys. Yeah. You know, I floated some things that I was told that were too feminine. Right. So I'm outvoted around here.
Yeah, one of the names was like
Unicorns.
Natalie's Flower Pot. I was like, no, we're not doing that.
That didn't work. Rainbows.
Natalie's Rainbow Corner. Reading Rainbow.
I was outvoted. But I do like it.
Take a look. It's in a book. It's
Reading Rainbow. Yeah, and we wouldn't have been able to get LeVar Burton as a co-host anyway for that.
Butterflies in the sky.
You don't know.
I guess, maybe we could. He didn't get Jeopardy, so maybe he.
Anyway, so that'll be the main focus of the show. And yes, my main finance channel, the Clayton Morris Finance Channel, youtube.com/ClaytonMorris, will be focusing on crypto and broader economic news. So as it relates to investing, that will be there. Paranormal news specifically will still be under the Paranormal Post.
Kathy brings up that she works at night, so she won't. She'll miss her live chats for the morning show. No, you won't, because we're doing the show later, but we will still broadcast it the next night, the next morning at 9 a.m. So you can still see your friends here, and I hope you do.
No, and Sandy, no. I mean, you know, Sandy says, will you only be covering redacted materials and topics? No, I mean, we're going to be covering things, I think, more broadly, the theme of the show, the mission. I think what's clear to me is that, like, with this name of this show, the mission statement of the show is to cover the stories in with more context and nuance that you will not see in the mainstream media. Look, I worked in the mainstream media for 20 years, and the last 10 years I worked at Fox. And on the morning show, you had 3.5 minutes to do a segment. And sometimes you could get some really good information in that amount of time, but most of the time you couldn't. I mean, let's be honest, like you're up against a commercial break. And so we can spend 10 minutes talking about in more context, you know, what's going on with the Russian ruble, what's happening with this, you know, vaccine information that's being withheld from you. Well, why is the government hiding this piece of data from you? So it doesn't have to be redacted necessarily. I think it just means we get to go deeper on topics that are largely kept from you, that the mainstream media doesn't want you to see and doesn't cover in context and detail. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Tara says it's less friendly. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. I was looking at that. It's less friendly than your current show, which is part of the charm of the current show, but interesting. And so I really appreciate that take on it. It is a bit more aggressive, and I want to make sure this was the thing that I was worried about, as long as you're letting us talk about our thought process, is that I don't want it to come off as like we know something you don't. And I want it to be humble. But at the same time,
times we are going to know things that you don't know because we spend our time researching and we have, you know, friends in this business, but we're also knee deep.
Right.
In
we can bring them stuff, but not act like everyone else, like we're the only enlightened people in the room, you know, type thing. And so that was sort of the part of the conversation, because I want us to be learners together, not necessarily like.
Yeah. No one is the, you know, end all authority on information. Right. So,
yeah.
But yeah, hope that makes sense.
So
aggressive.
Yeah.
Aggressive and strong and edgy. Maddie says, I love it. That's
right. And it's going to be Monday through Thursday.
Yes.
The live show is going to be Monday through Thursday evenings. And then the premiere for the morning people will be Tuesday through Friday.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's going to be confusing, but you'll see once we start doing it. And I regularly
get comments like, wow, a morning invest show
like
with
we
no
don't
investment
do...
news.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. And it's like, well, you know, and so we could get around it by saying, well, we're investing in yourself. And it's like, no, it doesn't work. It doesn't work anymore. And it doesn't fit.
It became a stretch. Yeah. Anyhow.
Well,
all right. Do we have pet photos?
Kimchi said, I get what you're saying. You don't want to be arrogant, but you guys are not. You're far from that. You're not CNN.
Well, thank you.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. Well, look, all our goal is to, you know, not make we can try to draw conclusions on the information, I think, right? You present the facts and we try to draw conclusions, right? Like Natalie was asking me earlier today about the orgy story. It's like, were there Democrats involved in these? And I'm like, I only know from my sources, I only can confirm that there were Republicans at these. I have no idea. So I'm not, you can infer, but I'm not going to make that leap and then say misinformation. You know, I'm going to go with what we know and what we're going to report on based on the data. And then we can have a conversation about it, but we're not going to make big leaps about these things. That's the goal.
So Anthony's asking, what will premiere in the mornings? The repurposed video clips? No. So we're going to do the show in the evening. Okay. So at 4 o'clock Eastern, we're going to do the show. And then that following morning, we're just going to take that show, that same show, and we're going to premiere it for you guys to watch. For the morning, so you'll get your chat and everything, and then after it's over we're going to take that down, and then that's going to go. We've got other things coming that we can't really talk about just yet that you guys are going to get, but that's still in the works. So we have a lot of cool stuff coming this year.
So people are wondering the show schedule, show time on Monday when we start the new show. It'll be redacted. It will start at so our time here. It'll be in Europe where we are. It'll be 9 p.m. our time. So it'll be, you know, we'll have all day to prepare for the show.
So it's 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 3 o'clock p.m. Central, 4 o'clock p.m. Yes. Eastern.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Sorry.
2 p.m. Mountain. 2 p.m. Mountain
yes.
time.
Yes.
3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern. And by the way, we're going to start the show about 30 minutes early. We'll have a sort of a live chat room for 30 minutes before the show. So the show will start 30 minutes ahead of time. And everyone can jump into the chat and chit chat for a while. And then we're going to start the show promptly right at the top of the hour. We'll have a new show open. It's going to be really exciting and dive right into the news. So yes, the new show, Becky, is called Redacted. And the YouTube channel name, the URL of the channel will switch. So it'll be youtube.com/redacted news. Someone poached the name Redacted. It's like not even existent. The channel doesn't even exist. And so it bums me out that we couldn't get that. But on Rumble, we're working on, we'll have that channel name as well on Rumble. And so we'll have live streaming through the website, through Rumble and through YouTube starting on Monday. So this is the last time we'll be coming to you as Morning Invest. It's been great.
Newsletter is still coming.
Yes, the newsletter is still going to be here. Don't worry about the newsletter; that will still come every morning. But we might be changing up some of the branding around all that too. But
same content, guys.
Yeah, same content.
Same content. All right. Well, everybody, you go out there and have a good weekend. Don't let anybody April fool you. You are too smart for that. And we will see you on Monday.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, then.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.